Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul with Torah Life Ministries, and I wanted to do a talk to you about something that happened to me last night as I was speaking to somebody who was an old friend who does not believe in Yeshua exclusively. And I say exclusively because they're one of these people that believe in all these different types of systems, belief systems of the world. And I was explaining to him my testimonial, and I brought up the Bible and Yeshua. And as she's getting older and was worrying about the future and concerned about the future and everything that's going on now, I told her the future is already known and we know what's going to happen depending on what side we choose. And as I was talking to her and explaining this to her, she seemed curious of how we know what's going to happen in the future and how sure we can be. And I just gave the accuracy of the scriptures previously, and explained to her that everything that has happened in the scriptures that have come true prior to them coming true was predicted before it came true. So for example, Noah's Ark, you know, there was a time and a warning of what was going to happen. It didn't just happen. Noah had given the warning to the people via from Yahweh to get right before it was too late and no one wanted to change. And it predicted the flood before it happened. And Noah gave the people years, over 120 years to get right and get ready for the flood to come. And within 120 years' time, people didn't listen. And then the flood came. And only those that Yahweh chose were the ones that were on the boat and rescued and saved, Noah and his family. Then you could look at the time when the Israelites came into the promised land. And all the people that were disobedient were in trouble, but they didn't come in over. He didn't come in overnight. Yahweh gave them over 400 years to get right. They knew that the Israelites were coming. The Israelites knew they were going there. The promised land had been promised to Abraham over 400 years prior to them coming. So the people had 400 years to get right, and only one did. One, Rahab, and she was spared of the persecution that was to come. Yahweh, and throughout his whole book, has given us warnings of what was going to happen. He also foretold events that were going to happen. And people had to make a choice of what side they were going to believe and what side they were going to choose in their actions. And our Creator doesn't change in his patterns. His patterns are still the same. He continues to give us warnings. So prior to the flood, people knew what was going to happen. Now it happened, and we look back on it, and we see his pattern. Prior to the Israelites coming into the promised land, the pattern was set up. We knew what was going to happen, and it has now happened. Our Creator doesn't change in his patterns. And there's a new pattern, or another pattern, that is taking place, and that's the pattern that's found in Revelation that shows us in the future what is going to happen, and based on the decision we make, what side we're going to end up in. So I first tried to establish with this person the accuracy of the scriptures. Even now, they're finding still artifacts exactly where the scriptures say they were supposed to be. The confirmation of the crossing of the Red Sea with the chariot wheels in a certain area proved that these events happened. The finding of Noah's Ark has proved that this event happened. These are proofs that this event happened, but the recording of these events prior to them happening were foretells of the future that came true. And Yahweh continues to foretell us, and in the book of Revelation, he continues to reveal to us what is going to happen as we get closer to the time of the end. And he reveals to us about this, and this person was very concerned about the everything that's going on with the coronavirus and the vaccine and just the world we live in today. And this person said that her only assurance of feeling okay is on two things, and that's what I want to talk about today. One of her assurances was that she's a nice person. She's a nice person. And the other one was she cannot believe that God would send a nice person to hell, somebody that does nice things. So with these two things that she discussed, first of all, I said, well, what is considered a nice person? Because the definition of nice will vary from person to person. I know some people I think are nice and some other people think they're not nice. What are we basing nice on? And the Bible has given us a guideline of what righteousness is or what nice is or what good is and what bad and what evil is. And we have to make a decision and a choice to go off our own feelings of what we think nice is or nice isn't is, or do we go off what the Bible says what it is? So first, with this idea of nice, we have to extinguish, well, what is your guidelines or your idea of nice? Help an old lady across the street and paying somebody's lunch seem like nice acts of kindness, but what is really considered nice or right and so on? And in the scriptures, usually what's right is not popular, and what's popular is not right or nice. So we have to understand these things more clearly and define where we're getting the idea of nice. And then even more concerning, when she said, I find it hard to believe that if somebody doesn't accept Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, that they would go to hell. First of all, most people have a distorted opinion or viewpoint of what hell truly is according to the scripture. As scripture reveals, it's separation from our Creator. And there are different levels of heaven, and we could say different depths of hell maybe, but our Creator gives us the foretelling of what will happen based on the choice we make and where we end up. And it's not her belief that matters, that if we deny Yeshua, we'll end up in hell. That's a worldly, earthly idea of somebody thinking that. How can that happen? But we have to get away from thinking with our mind, in which we have a Greek mindset, which the enemy has put in our head, and think with a Hebraic mindset and look at what the scriptures say and what our Creator says about trusting the words of our Creator more than even our own thoughts and feelings, and to try to grow to a place of maturity from a spiritual sense where our feelings and our emotions go along with what the scriptures say, not the other way around. And we want to get to this place of maturity. But I tried to explain it where as I teach about health and I teach people about eating healthy, somebody would say to me, they find it hard to believe that somebody could just start eating a healthy diet and get better from something like cancer. And I said, what's so amazing about the design of the human body is that what I find is somebody could eat so unhealthy for so long and not get cancer. You see, the idea of somebody rejecting Yeshua and going to hell has another side to that. And it is the simplicity of accepting Yeshua and not going to hell. What is keeping people from making that simple choice? And Yeshua pointing us to the guidelines and instructions, known as the commandments in the Bible, are not difficult to keep. By Yeshua saying, my yoke is not difficult, my yoke is easy. And taking that pressure off ourselves of being that good person and putting it on Yeshua and the word of scripture is so much easier, so much reassuring. And if we believe and follow the patterns of our Creator, we have a side to choose. And what this all comes down to is to understand that the righteous people in scripture were looking forward to the Messiah, forward to his coming. And today we're looking back on what he did for us and his returning. And as we think about this, and the simplicity of this overall message, we have to follow the pattern of scripture and understand with all telling of history, with all telling of story, with all understanding everything, there's a climax to everything. And the climax of the scripture is Yahshua, the one they call Messiah, dying and being resurrected, if you want to say a tree or on a cross, whatever you want to say, and his first return and his second return. That's it, and that's everything. But we look at the patterns of scripture, and by the grace and mercy of our wonderful creator, by how long he gives us to get right with his word. We need to focus on this and really get a good idea on this. So 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we are healed. We need to understand the deepness of this scripture and to understand death. And to, you know, most people, with all the craziness in this world today and all the murders in this world today, everything else, most people have not experienced seeing death with their own eyes. Most people have not seen another human being die in front of them. Where you talk to them for one moment and then they're dead. And it's on a realistic level for us to remember somebody, our best friend, our parent, our spouse, our children. When these people that are in our lives often are no longer with us, we miss them. We miss their company. We miss them. We think about them. We remember them. But when you literally see somebody die with your own eyes, it's a whole different experience. And we can experience in this through seeing maybe pets die with our own eyes. If the emotion of somebody, a family losing their pet that had to be put to sleep or something, can you just imagine the emotion of a human being getting murdered in front of you that you knew, somebody you knew? And how it connects on such an emotional level. When we think about what Yeshua had done for us and his body laying there or hanging there, his dead, lifeless body hanging there, blood pouring out. And we think about this and we think about what we're required to do in this pattern, just like all the people of the past. And in, as it says in Hebrews, fixing our eyes on Yeshua, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Enduring this death for us, that he would do this and die for us. And then to come back to life. I mean, it's one thing that there were people in scripture that came back to life, Lazarus and Tabitha and all these other people in scripture that were considered, whether they're called sleeping or dead, and they came back to life. But Yeshua was not some little sick girl in someone's house or someone's friend. He was one that walked with them, that they followed, that they knew on a personal level. And he knew all along what was going to happen. None of us, it says, know the day or the hour. None of us know what's going to happen. But Yeshua, knowing all along why he was here, what his ultimate job was, and how he continued to warn the people of what was going to happen, setting the example for us to warn people what is going to happen in the future. And in this world, people might say, we don't know the future. We don't know what the future holds. But in the scripture, it doesn't say that. In the scripture, following the pattern from all the way from Genesis, all the way to Revelation, it reveals to us what is going to happen and what will take place. It explains this to us. And we have to remember this and understand. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, for the message of the cross or the tree is foolish to those who are perishing, but those of us who are being saved, it is the power of Yahweh. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Those that that aren't looking for the light in the darkness, those of us that have rejected Yeshua, or even the idea of the patterns of Yahweh or the word of our Creator, and not picking and choosing, but focusing on what Scripture says, it is a foolish message that these events happened, but they did. It's a foolish message that if we deny Yeshua, we're going to hell, and if we accept Yeshua, we're going to be saved, or about the eternity and the afterlife and everything that goes on there, what Scripture says. But it's happening. The plan is going through. Now, there are messages that we don't fully understand or agree with or get about future prophecies that we're trying to figure out. But history is history, and it's already done. And the patterns that our Creator already set. And the Bible hasn't changed for thousands of years. Some people talk about, let's play this game of telephone where we start off, we say one thing amongst a whole bunch of people, and then see at the end if they got it even close to the beginning. And most of the time, they don't have it even close. But that's not the Bible. The Bible isn't a game of telephone. The Bible has been the same from when it was written until now. And in the finding and the confirming of the finding of the earliest manuscripts and showing the accuracy of how even today they are the same, the original and renewed covenant, and finding the ancient artifacts of Scripture reveal to us the truth of Scripture. Ephesians 2:16 says, and in one body to reconcile both them to Yahweh and through the tree or the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He rescued us. He became the curse for us. And he's going to lead us in to our future place as promised in Scripture if we take the first step and accept who he was, who he is, and what he did for us. And when we understand all these things, we have a desire to get in line with our Creator and his Creator's words and live according to the things he tells us to live for and how he tells us to live. And then we think about our purpose here and what we're here to do as we look forward to that day. Some people live a very long life, but the Bible tells us what our true responsibility is, what our true job is, and how we're supposed to live our lives, and what we're supposed to do. And this is all part of the obedience that confirms our beliefs of who we're deciding to follow. In our physical actions, are we keeping the commandments of our Creator? In our spiritual actions, are we keeping the emotions of our Creator? Are we doing these things? And are we physically going out and being watchmen like he tells us to do, to make disciples, to share the gospel, to let people know? Or are we being selfish with this information if we already know it? Using embarrassment as an excuse not to share the gospel with others. That doesn't sound like somebody who's too convinced that it's true, that it's real. Listen, if somebody has cancer, and through alternative medicine or through any medicine, through doctors or whatever you want to call it, they get better from cancer, they're going to tell everyone about their experience. I was dying, but then this happened and now I'm alive. And when you understand the significance of what Yeshua did on the cross for us and how much punishment that we deserve for our lives and the way we live and understand what he did for us, truly connect with that. You should want to tell everyone, everywhere, at every moment. Just as if you were walking across the street and a car came this close to hitting you. Just as if you were stricken with a deadly disease and you woke up one day and you were better and healed. Just as if you were flying in a plane, the plane crashed and you were the only survivor. You would tell every single person you met. Let me tell you this amazing story that happened to me. You're not going to believe it. Sit down. I'm still in disbelief that something like this happened to me. Well, why aren't we doing the same thing for our wonderful Messiah? who gave us the greatest act in this world of all the people, of all of creation, that he would love us each on an individual basis so much that he would die for us. That he would die for us and take our place and become a curse for us and take away that penalty. That penalty that sentences people to a death they deserved. Wow. And how many times do we say, let me tell you about this and let me explain this to you? Now, the enemy, the devil, wants us to not believe these things. He wants to distort things that are saying. This person said to me that I was talking to them the other night. They said, well, I went to a church one time and they just said, if this person didn't accept Yeshua, they're going to hell. And I could not believe that such a nice person was going to this place called hell. Excuse me, ma'am. First of all, do you know who Yeshua was? And do you even know what hell is? When you say, if I deny Yeshua, I'm going to hell, I will say to you, denying Yeshua is hell. You are a prerequisite in your separation from our wonderful creator right there by denying who he is. What is the issue and what's causing you to say he is the only true way to salvation? The way and the truth. What is causing you from doing that? Well, I believe there's many different ways and there's not only one way. What is wrong with the way of Yeshua? Have you read the scriptures? Have you read his yoke is not difficult, it is easy? What problem do you have with following his ways? Well, they go against my feelings. Well, they go against the way I want to live according to my life, according to this world. They make me look different. They make me stand out. They beget a persecution upon me. People don't like me because the Bible and the way of Yeshua talks against the ways of this world, talks against homosexuality and adultery and immorality and all these different things. And if I go against those things, I'm not going to be liked by the people of this world. So much so, they may even throw me in jail if I talk against it. So much so that they may do what they do in other parts of the world, and they may beat me up, maybe even try to kill me, maybe even being successful and kill me, all because I decided to live according to the Bible. Paul, that doesn't sound easy to me. That doesn't sound like a loving creator that would make us go through all that. So excuse me, ma'am, what you're saying is if you go along with the world, and the world's ways that go against the ways of our Creator written in the Bible, that your life is going to be easier and less persecution will happen to you. And you'll have more peace at night when you sleep because the people of this world like you. While the pattern of Scripture tells us if we continue to deny our Creator and his ways and the investment we make in our future won't put you in peace, because you're living in this world, but you seem very worried and fearful about all the things that are going on right now, about the unknown, and about the possibilities of what might happen to you. I don't seem to have those worries and fears of man. Who are we putting our trust in? And who is the world putting their trust in? And what decisions are we making when it comes to these topics? These are the things we all have to decide. These are the things we must convince or be sure of and not waver back and forth on based on the way the world's treating us or based on what we see on the news and the radio programs or based on how we feel that day. We must make a decision and stick to it. There's no neutrality with our Creator. You're either for him or against him. And if you're not moving forward according to his patterns, following his guidelines and instructions, following his voice, following his example, you're moving backwards. There's no standing still. You're either for him or against him. There's no in between. That's why it's so important to make that choice and declaration that we believe in Yahshua 100%. And if you do it truly with your heart, you will not be embarrassed or ashamed to tell other people about it, no matter how much it disrupts their life or their understanding. They could not like Yeshua because he doesn't confirm that abortion is good, the murdering of babies is okay, or homosexuality is right. No. He tells in the scripture about creation, about gender, about life, about truth, about true immorality, and about true morality, and about true righteousness and true unrighteousness. And we have the decision we want to make. But remember what it says in Ephesians, that there's a battle going on for our souls, a battle that we don't see that's taking place. And we have to make that decision of what side we are going to be on, of who we are going to follow. That's a decision each and one, every one of us must make. And you can't waver back and forth, because if you truly understand and believe what the cross or the tree meant for us and what it did for us, and proving the existence of the patterns of our Creator, of what happened in the past, what happened in the present, and what is going to happen in the future, you will not waver back at all from his truth of the word and what it says and how we are to live our lives. Hallelujah. So I don't care if you call yourself a believer or a Christian or whatever else belief system you follow in this world, it comes down to this. You either accept what Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, did for us, or you deny it. There's no neutrality. There's no, he's one of the many gods of this world. No, he's either him or not. That's it. And the result is going to take place based on your decision, according to the scripture. Yes, you may find it hard to believe that that nice person that you know, according to your definition of the nice, that it's, if he rejects Yeshua as being the only way to salvation, that somebody would go to this place called hell. You might think that, you might believe that, but I will tell you the greatness of just accepting him for who he says he is, and pray and be guided by his holy word as found in scripture, and understand this truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this. Please share this message with others. People need to hear it. Have a blessed day. Yahweh be with you, and shalom, shalom.